Welcome to the second episode of the Red Bull Rant, the newest podcast about the New York Red Bulls. I'm your host, Jason Ipigo, and with me today is my co-host, Patrick McDonald.
Hello, everybody.
So we have a lot to talk about today, a lot of transfer news in the last 2 weeks. It seems that all of a sudden, the Red Bulls decided that they were going to open up their coffers and finally start buying up people. But first, we have a sale. Tim Ream to Bolton transfer has officially gone through. The transfer fee for Tim Ream was $2.75 million, and out of that, New York will receive $650,000 in allocation money, as Tim Ream was a draft pick and played 2 years for the club. So going forward, what do you think of this means for New York, and additionally, what do you think it means for Tim Ream's chances in EPL and also the U.S. national team?
Well, I mean, it looks like the Red Bulls already have their contingency plan set up for Reams leaving. They seem to be okay with Holgersen. Of course, they could always throw Marquez back there because he's still on the team. And of course, you hear the rumors that they're going to be going after, or they already purchased the rights for Willman Kondi, and they're going to try and bring him aboard. So I think the team is going to be okay at center back. For Ream, hey, this is a great challenge for him. I mean, obviously, it's great for him financially. I mean, it's good that he's going to Bolton as opposed to an Arsenal, you know? So it's like, the pressure's going to be there, absolutely, because it's the English Premier League, but it's not going to be as bad as if it was like a top four team, something like that. As long as he can handle it, and I think he started to come back around by the end of last season, as long as he can keep his cool and just focus, I think he's going to do all right. I really do. And I think, you know, he'll be back in the national team picture quite possibly by 2014. I mean, we'll see. But, you know, it's going to work out for him, the whole move between Bolton itself and the national team.
Yeah, the one thing I'm a little concerned about, at least in terms of Ream and the national team, is that Bolton right now is at the bottom of the EPL table and is looking at relegation. Whether they can pull themselves out of it is, you know, we'll have to see. But if he were to drop to the championship, that may hurt his chances because he wouldn't be as visible. I mean, at least he'd be playing in England and against tougher competition than he probably would see in MLS. But do you think that that would have any effect if Bolton were to get relegated?
Not necessarily, because at the time of the 2010 World Cup, you got to figure Jayden Merritt was playing for Watford, and at the time they were in the championship. So, I mean, as long as he's playing at a high level, whether that be in the championship or the premiership, I think he still could very well work his way into the conversation. And, you know, again, he just has to perform, and I think he's capable. I mean, you know, he's shown it. I think it was just, you know, a sophomore slump. That's about it. And I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him.
All right, and I know we're planning on saving Marquez for later, but I just one quick thing with him in the back line. Hans Bacca has come out and said that pretty much he will not be on the back line. He will be a defensive mid position. So who do you think is going to be the center backs for the Red Bulls? I mean, I would assume Holgersen is because they brought him in. But do you think he'll keep the spot, or do you think someone else is going to take over for him? I guess it would depend on the Kondé signing, but who do you see as the second center back?
I think probably to start out right now, it's probably going to be Kiel, you know. But, you know, that's what preseason's for. And they'll be going to play in a few friendlies. They got the Roto del Sol and out in Phoenix. So, I mean, they got plenty of time to figure it out. But I'd say until we know the future of Kondé, it's probably going to be Steven Kiel.
Next item we have is about Thierry Henry. Everybody knows that he's been loaned out to Arsenal. However, he picked up a injury in training before the match against Manchester United. He happened to injure his calf, and because of that, he actually missed the game against Manchester United. Do you think this injury will hamper Henry, I guess, in the short term with his loan in Arsenal? And long term, how do you think that's going to affect the Red Bulls?
I think it's kind of a little effect pretty much on both cases. I mean, they're already reporting over in England that Henry's going to be ready to go against Aston Villa in the FA Cup on Sunday. So I don't think it's going to be a setback whatsoever, especially, I mean, for Arsenal, maybe a little bit, but especially for the Red Bulls, it's really not anything to worry about. I think he's going to continue to get in shape, get game ready, and, you know, he'll be ready to go when he comes back. I mean, I think he's going to come back in great form, and, I don't think Red Bull fans need to worry about anything about this small calf injury, you know?
I guess it's a good thing it was the calf more than the Achilles, just because that's what bothered him for most of last year. I'm just concerned of him picking up something else while he's over there. But I guess there's nothing you can really do about that at this point.
No, it happens. It was a minor injury. And I don't think it's going to lead to anything worse. Of course, there's a risk. There's a risk he's going to get hurt. I mean, you know, we look at Omar Gonzalez and him getting hurt the first day of training in Germany. But it's... I think he's going to be... I can't predict that he won't get hurt again, but, you know, I think he'll be fine.
Next item on the agenda is a new signing, another signing by the Red Bulls. This American-born goalkeeper by the name of Jeremy Vullo. Not sure if I said that right, but hopefully I did. He played during college for first Hartwick College, which is a Division III school in New York, but actually plays Division I men's soccer out of the Mid-American Conference against Akron, which is a really good school. So I'm going to say he saw some good competition while he was there. While playing for Hartwick, he appeared 53 times and recorded 18 shutouts. For his last year of school, he transferred to Syracuse, where he appeared 16 times for the Orangemen and recorded 3 shutouts. He's also appeared for USL Development League side Reading United, appearing 66 times over 5 seasons. And before signing with New York, he was playing with Finnish 2nd Division side AC Oulu, starting 24 games. That was all 24 games that season. 11 shutouts, and led the team to the 3rd place in the standings, only 4 points short of promotion. So, with the signing of this kid, obviously Frank Gross is not coming back. That's already been announced by Hans Bach. Do you see him at the moment being a starter, or do you see the Red Bulls still going out to get an experienced goalkeeper to fill the shoes and to possibly train one of these two kids for the future?
Well, you know, Eric Soler has already come out that they are looking for a veteran keeper. They don't have. They say both these guys are young, Volo and Mara. The good thing about this guy, at least, is that he has played professional soccer. Sure, it's Finland. Who knows anything about Finland? I'd be begged to say that very few people in America know a lot about Finnish soccer, but you know, he did start 24 games and over there, and that's not something to sniff at. I mean, yeah, but you look at Tally Hall, came over from Europe and didn't play at all, really, and he replaced an MLS legend, Pat Onsa, and he did an amazing job. I'm not saying Volo is Tally Hall, but it's very possible, and the one thing that we can't forget is Hans Bach and Eric Soler know Scandinavia. They know it like the back of their hand, and they've had very few misses come from Scandinavia. And this kid, hey, that's where this kid's from. So, I mean, granted, they are the ones also saying they want a veteran keeper. I mean, Renny Vega keeps saying, down in Venezuela, keeps saying that he's in constant contact with the Red Bulls, and he wants to play in New York ASAP, but Red Bulls keep denying that. You know, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't mind seeing this kid start on opening day, and I'd say until somebody comes in, I mean, you got to consider him the starter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the big concern is having experience back there. I mean, having the back line that looks like we will, I guess we can get away with having a young goalkeeper, because they'll have an experienced back line, a back line that knows how to play, and hopefully we'll be able to protect him enough to take away a lot of the chances that we've had, that we let through last year. I mean, the back line through injuries and other mistakes just couldn't, for some reason, consistently keep people out of the box. So hopefully this new and improved back line will be able to at least help. And whether we get an experienced keeper or not, we'll see. But hopefully that back line will at least protect a younger keeper and allow him to grow. And actually, speaking of Vega, right before we started recording, I saw that he was playing. I'm trying to remember what the tournament was.
The Copa Libertadores.
Yes, he was playing in that, and at the time I saw a tweet come by that he was had already let by 2 goals.
Oh well.
But apparently he doesn't. From the tweet, it doesn't seem like he has a good backline playing for him in that tournament. So that could be part of it too.
Well, I mean, that's one thing to go to your point about, you know, whoever we put in keeper. It's many keepers only as good as their back line. So it's, you know, it's a pretty damn big goal, and a person can only be so big. So it's, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah. Well, to help that back line out, the Red Bulls have also signed a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, because we need one of those.
Yeah. I for some reason, they just seem to be defensive-minded this year, which I guess is a good thing considering we let up almost as many goals as we scored.
That's true.
But, I mean, at some point you figure we have to go for offense.
Right.
But so they signed this defensive midfielder. Name is Viktor Paulsson. He is an Icelandic U21 international. He played for the Liverpool youth team, but unfortunately was not able to break through to the senior team. I don't think he's officially signed yet, but at least been reported that he will. But before these rumors came up, he was playing for Scottish Premier League side Hibernian FC, appeared in 31 games, and actually tallied 1 goal. So I guess we get some sort of offense with him.
Well, that's true. That's a good sign.
So do you see this? Personally, I see this more as a depth move, considering we have Marquez, Dax McCarty, and I'm trying to remember. I can't remember for some reason. My mind's blanking on the other.
Tame Mutania.
Yes. So since we have three defensive-minded midfielders already, it seems like this is more of a depth move on the part of the Red Bulls.
I don't know. It's because you got McCarty who can play defensive midfielder, you got Tanyo, you got Marquez. I mean, how many defensive midfielders do you need? And you got to figure, once they remedy the attacking midfield situation, if they actually plan on doing that this season, they say they are, but, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, what are you going to do with three defensive midfielders? This is baffling. I don't know anything about the guy. He could be very good. I mean, before we started recording, I popped on FIFA real quick to see what he was ranked. He's rated a 72, a 62. Who knows? I mean, he could be. I mean, you know, Tanyo and Marquez are both, you know, past 30, so he could very well be the defensive midfielder of the future. But it's a head scratcher. I don't quite. Maybe, you know, Hans and Salerno something we don't. Maybe there's another position he can play. I have no idea. But it's just it's very strange. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. You know, if he can somehow contribute, then all right, more power to him. But, I mean, right now, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, the only reason I see this as a death move, honestly, is because of the injury that Marquez happened to pick up last year during the Gold Cup, and Tanyo, I know, at times was hurt last year, so that's why I think it's a death move, but I guess we'll see. Maybe they're also signing him so they can finally win a U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Since there's no playing games this year, we'll automatically have automatically be in, I think, it's round of 32.
I think 64.
I thought it was 30. Whatever it is, anyway. Well, since we actually don't have to worry about playing into the Open Cup, then maybe they'll actually use him for that game.
Exactly. Who knows?
All right. So the last bit we want to talk about. There's three players, current players, they want to talk about and kind of figure out what's going on with them. The first one, which we haven't heard about a lot this year, and these are all people that Red Bulls fans love to hate. First one is Mehdi Bellucci, who has actually had a quiet offseason.
Yeah, he's had a quiet offseason because probably nobody wants him. yeah, it, it's again, when it goes back to Paulson, if that, you know, even though he's a defensive midfielder, if that means that this is, you know, the same with the Kenny Cooper signing, because Bellucci at times played up top for some inexplicable reason. I mean, if these signings mean we'll see less of him on the field, then I guess that's okay. Because he just, you know, it's very, like, he would, every once in a while, he would do something amazing, like that header against Houston last season, you know, that late header. And then he would score a goal here and there, but then it would just be long periods of doing absolutely nothing. And who knows why he's even on the team. At this point, I mean, they got rid of so many people in the offseason, you know, all the young guys, I guess you might as well keep him. It's not like he's extremely expensive, but he's still with us, and we'll see, you know, what role he plays. I mean, I'm hoping it's no more than a time-wasting sub when we're up by two goals, so, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where he fits in to the scheme of things now, especially since they've signed a few midfielders this offseason. I guess we'll have to wait to see what. I'd imagine he gets to play on the reserve team a lot this year, assuming that Bach actually realizes what's going on and demotes him. Because for some reason, Bach just has a love affair with this kid and just keeps him on the bench and use. For some reason, I think he was the only. Well, I don't want to say it's true, but at least my personal opinion is that he was the go-to guy for Bach when he wants to make a substitution. And it was, for some reason, it was only 80th minute, and I'm not going to get into that. But I just don't understand what his love affair was with this kid. Hopefully, that soured last at the end of the year, and that's why they're bringing in a bunch of these midfielders to kind of make him unnecessary. But I guess we'll wait and see if he stays with the first team, or if somebody happens to pick him up somehow. I don't know who would, but maybe somebody will take him off our hands for us.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, if you recall, I mean, he started last season. He started as the central attacking midfielder at the very beginning of the season. He was replaced by Tony Chani, who played a hell of a lot better than him. And then, of course, the Rebels traded Tony Chani. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I, you know, it's one of those things where all last year I thought, okay, this is the week he finally doesn't get off the bench. And he would keep getting off the bench. So, I mean, I'll say it. Yeah, this season I don't see him playing a major role, but I've been wrong before about him. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, so second person that we're going to talk about is Brian Nielsen, who it has been rumored that he would like to stay in New York. Currently he is in camp as a trialist, and Bach has come out and said that he will have to earn his way onto the team. Everybody remembers Nielsen not because of playing time, but because of how long he's been injured in a Red Bull uniform. So do you think he is going to show Han something that's going to make him say, I need this kid on the team?
I mean, you know, I think a lot of it comes into play as to how much he'll cost the team. I mean, because the team cannot pay him six figures a season to do nothing again. It's just, you can't justify it. It doesn't mean it takes up an international slot and he costs that much money. It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, we have a salary cap we have to recognize. I mean, the plus is he has to earn it this time. You know, he really does. He has to step up in training camp, and if he doesn't, presumably he's gone. I mean, he's on loan from the parent company in Austria, so you gotta wonder if they're gonna be like, force him on us. Who knows? But it's just, you know. But, you know, everything I've heard is that he is coming in. If he even earns a spot on the team, it'll be at a lower figure, which is great. And, you know, if he can perform, fantastic. I mean, who am I to sniff at a guy who can play? But, you know, everything I've read so far is that he's like, he hasn't worked out to keep, you know, which, hey, look, if his knee's still hurting him, I guess he can't. But, you know, how's he going to prove himself on a bum knee? It doesn't sound possible. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, if he comes in at a very low number, oh, then again, I mean, the international slot is probably not something you want to waste on a player who's never going to see the field. And he's seen the field, what, you know, three times or something over the past two seasons. So it's just, you know, it's definitely, I don't think he has a future. I think he will be gone by the season starts.
Yeah, I think he played all of maybe 5 minutes last year for the Red Bulls, and at least in MLS time. I don't think he showed up in any of the U.S. Open Cup matches. But yeah, obviously, he has not worked out. The thing I don't understand is why he's on trial if... I'm assuming his contract with the club in Austria is up if he's on trial. That's the only thing that seems to make sense to me. And maybe the club in Austria decide they don't want him if... Because you'd imagine that either they would tell the team to sign him to a contract or say, hey, we don't want him anymore, so it's up to you.
I mean, Baca on the team's website, I mean, that's where I got the information. He said, yeah, he has a chance to earn his way onto the team. And, yeah, it's that seems pretty ominous. It seems like, you know, this guy's got to finally perform or he's out of here. So, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The last person we're going to talk about is everyone's favorite Mexican, Rafa Marquez, who Hans has come out and said will be playing the defensive midfielder position this year. Probably in large part because of the amount of signings that have taken place in terms of the defensive line so far. And in a recent article by Brian Lewis at the New York Post, he's actually said that he is going to give it his all this year and that he finally understands how tough it is to play in MLS, not because of technical skill, but because of how physical it is. So I don't know what your thoughts are, but just on that statement alone, I have to question Marquez, because it's not like last year was the first time he played in MLS. He spent a few months with the Red Bulls in 2010, so it's not like it was new to him last year.
Right, right. You know, Zach Wasink, he's someone who writes on Yahoo.com, and he kind of threw the thought out there that, hey, it's time for Red Bull fans and Marquez to make up. It's, you know, like, he needs to earn it. Sure, absolutely. But it's time we just get off his case, because the season's starting, and if he's going to be a part of it, we need him at his top. I'm definitely not quite there yet. He definitely needs to show a hell of a lot more. If there's one thing from the offseason that Red Bull fans can be a little happy about when it comes to Rafa Marquez, is that because of his actions against LA Galaxy in that home playoff loss, he was not brought into Mexican camp for the Mexican national team. And as we all know, we've seen it last season, Rafa Marquez was a different player for the Mexican national team than he was for the Red Bulls. He obviously, you know, bled El Tri. And it's... You know, if his coach is willing to respect Major League Soccer to the point that's like, hey man, look, I don't care if you're Major League Soccer, if you're the Primera Division in Mexico, you got to play. You can't embarrass your team like that. That might reach Marquez. You know, and that's the one silver lining here that people could possibly hold on to. Like, oh, maybe he will actually start to turn it around, because I don't think he'll risk losing the Mexican national team. And another thing to remember is David Beckham was the golden boy last season in L.A. I mean, they loved him. They absolutely love him. But very few people remember that when he first came back from AC Milan halfway into the MLS season all those years back, everyone in LA wanted him gone. They hated him. You know, he wasn't loyal to the team, all that. And there was an incident where he even almost ran into the stands to confront a fan. It was heckling him. I mean, it was that much of a low point. I mean, you had Landon Donovan questioning him. But then, you know, that everyone got through that, and the Galaxy had the season listening. I'm not saying Marquez is David Beckham, but it just goes to show you that a 180 can happen. There's outside influences into Marquez that could motivate him now. I mean, a lot remains to be seen. You know, I personally think, I mean, this goes back to the defensive thing, that he might, you know, he could be the finesse central back alongside Holgorsen, who's apparently supposed to be more physical, and he could be better in that role. And it's also possible he can, like Hans Baca said, that he can be marginalized in a midfield role. But Again, a lot remains to be seen. I think he still needs to show a hell of a lot more. I don't care if he says that MLS is where his heart is, New York is where his heart is. He needs to show that. And, you know, once the televised preseason matches start coming on, even there, I think, is a great place to start, even though they're meaningless. If you need to win these fans over and, start helping this team win games.
Yeah, you made the comparison to Beckham. I know it's not an exact comparison, but I think the difference, at least in those situations, is I don't think Beckham had the on-field problems that Marquez did.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
So that's a big, big problem. Because if you look at the end of last year, there's the game, the match against Philadelphia that Red Bull won to get into the playoffs, and Marquez put out a lot of effort in that game, and the fans showed him what playing can do. If you show effort, the fans, they may not like the result, but they'll like you. They'll support you as long as you're willing to show that you're going to go 100% for the team and for the fans. They will support you. And during that Philadelphia game, and this is partially because of Henry, I don't think he scored a goal, but something happened and he was facing the South Ward, and he held up the jersey and kissed the crest. And that was supposed to be a big sign of respect to the fans and show that he was in it. But then he turns around in the LA match, and everybody knows what happens at the end of that, where he throws the ball and starts the whole melee. Which, by the way, I believe he will be out for the first game against Dallas this year because of that suspension.
Yeah, his suspension carries over.
I think my hesitation is, if he didn't have those on-field issues, then maybe I could take his words as truth. But because of that, that's why he really, at least for me, he really needs to show me that he's worth it, that he wants to play on this team. Because you can't put your team in a spot like that, especially in the playoffs after you just lost 1-0 and you have to go to LA. You can't put your team in a position where they lose their, honestly, at that point, second best player. I mean, it's just not something that somebody should be doing.
I 100% agree with you. He needs to really he needs a Herculean performance to open up the season. I mean, it's like, when player ratings come out after these games at the beginning of the season, I almost expect him to lose 2 to 3 points on his reputation alone. He could have an 8-game, people are still going to be giving him 5 because it's Rafa Marquez. So, he really needs to repair his reputation. And I think Red Bull fans' best hope would have to be, that the Mexican team situation is going to motivate him. And I think it will. I don't even know. I mean, because he says he's the reason offers were turned down overseas, but who knows? Maybe they weren't even offering as much money as the Rebels are paying him now, because, hey, money talks. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. One final thought, actually. This is more of a comparison. At the beginning of last year, the fans, and particularly the South Ward, were really going after Henry after the first few matches, because he hadn't gotten going, hadn't scored a goal. And I forget which match it was, but I remember it was one of the home matches, I think in April.
San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose. Where he, because of Luke Rogers specifically looking for him, he got his first goal of the season. And that fired him up. He had a great season And I think he responded, and the Red Bull fans were booing him just like they were booing Marquez. The difference was Henry realized that because he wasn't performing, not because of lack of trying, but Henry, I think because of that, put more effort into, Kez got the same treatment but didn't show that same effort. And I think that's the thing that's missing, is the effort. And it showed in terms of goals, and that's why the fans love him now and are behind him 100%, because he showed that he's willing to work for this team. Where Mark, it's like, I think he can start the year, say the first four or five matches, not score a goal. But if he were to bust his ass, if he were to run down every ball that gets past him, or at least make an attempt to, I think the fans would start to accept him and start to support him.
No, I think, yeah, if you show some effort, yeah, absolutely. You know, but he's got to do it. And it's been a while since we've seen him put any effort in. So it's like, you know, you know, again, he couldn't do it, but, you know, it's just going to take time.
Yeah. I mean, like they say, actions speak louder than words, so.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's all we have for the second episode of the Red Bull Rant. You can follow us on our website, redbullrant.wordpress.com. Our email address is redbullrant@gmail.com. On Facebook, our page is The Red Bull Rant. On Twitter, we have three handles, at Red Bull Rants for the show, at Dr. Stooge, DocTaStooge for myself, and at PMACD82, PMACD82 for Patrick. Do you have anything to say before we go?
No, nothing much. I mean, we'll see you. I guess we'll see you all again when preseason's in high gear.
Yep. All right. So for Patrick McDonald and myself, thank you for tuning in to the Red Bull Rant. Talk to you later.
All right, have a good one.